As you listen to the following audio clip, in which Bill O'Reilly talks about hell, salvation, and what he thinks the quote Catholic Church teaches about quote baptism of desire, keep the following facts in mind. It's a solemnly defined dogma of the Catholic Church that all who die as non-Catholics go to hell. This was defined by popes ex cathedra more than 7 times, including by the councils of the Fourth Lateran, Vienne, Florence, Fifth Lateran, Trent, and Vatican I. It's also a dogma that faith in Jesus Christ and the Trinity is absolutely necessary for salvation for all above the age of reason. This was defined by the Council of Florence and the Athanasian Creed. Any modern text or quote catechism that would contradict these truths is not Catholic, heretical, and to be rejected. Here's the dogmatic definition of Pope Eugene IV, at the Council of Florence in 1441, ex cathedra, quote, "The Holy Roman Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that all those who are outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans but also Jews or heretics and schismatics, cannot share in eternal life and will go into the everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels, unless they are joined to the Church before the end of their lives. That the unity of this ecclesiastical body is of such importance that only for those who abide in it do the Church's sacraments contribute to salvation and do fasts, almsgiving and other works of piety and practices of the Christian militia produce eternal rewards, and that nobody can be saved, no matter how much he has given away in alms and even if he has shed blood in the name of Christ, unless he has persevered in the bosom and unity of the Catholic Church," end quote.
In that segment tonight, the cover of Time magazine last week, Holy Week, featured a Michigan preacher who says there might not be a hell, that nobody will be punished for eternity. As you may know, the basis of Judeo-Christian tradition is that good will be rewarded and evil punished in the afterlife. If that equation breaks down, so does the tradition. Joining us now from Raleigh, North Carolina, Pastor Jack McKinney, a PhD who consults with religious clergy and congregations. So, good news for Adolf, Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao Zedong, and other villains who slaughtered millions of people, right? They're not gonna pay. That sounds like good news, huh?
Yeah, Bill, I think that would not be the issue, except the Church doesn't just teach that mass murderers go to hell. They teach that people like Gandhi go to hell. And that puts God in a very difficult place. We're turning God into a monster by teaching
of a
literal
hell.
Which
church teaches that? My church doesn't teach that. Catholic Church doesn't teach that.
The conservative church does teach that.
And the evangelicals,
hell,
you mean?
Yeah, evangelicals, but other segments of the church teach a literal hell for anyone who doesn't accept Jesus.
Okay, but
I think it's a theological and historical mistake.
In the Christian community, with all due respect to evangelicals, who we do respect, I think that's an extreme position. Let me define what the Catholic Church's position on this is, all right? Quote, "Non-Christians who seek God with a sincere heart," which would be Gandhi, "and moved by his grace try to do his will as they know it through the dictates of conscience, can also be saved without water baptism. They are said to desire it implicitly. That is called baptism of desire. I was taught that in the third grade, that the Holocaust victims who were primarily Jewish, they're damned because they're not Catholic? That's insane. All right, little babies who die upon birth, they can't get baptized. They're not going to heaven. That's insane. I think the problem is with this no hell business is that you have to deal with the Hitlers and the Pol Pots and these tyrants. And if you say there is no hell, then there really isn't any regulation of behavior at all. And Scripture goes right against that, does it not?
Now, I think there's been a real historical and theological misinterpretation of Scripture about hell. But your point there, Bill, is a good one, that all across the church you have different interpretations of what hell really is and who's headed there. The end result, though, is if you're talking about eternal damnation for people, that is a very psychological, debilitating thing. I see it all the time in my counseling practice. I see good, committed Christians, for instance, gay people, good, committed gay Christians who've been told they're abominations, they're going to hell forever.
By whom?
It does
though?
Enormous damage.
They're not told that by my church. My church tells people, you don't make those judgments. No one makes those judgments but the deity, because we're all sinners. That's clear. So I think what's going on here is that you're taking, Pastor, with all due respect, an extreme position in the Christian community and using it as a barometer to say, well, it can't possibly be a hell. Well, I'll submit to you, if there is no hell, Judeo-Christian tradition just breaks down. I'll give you the best example ever, and this is germane to Easter and Holy Week last week. When Jesus turned to Judas, who betrayed him, and said, it would be better had you not been born. Okay? And then you know what happened to Judas. When you betray someone in any way, shape, or form, and you don't repent, you're gone, according to Christian and Jewish tradition. You are gone. If that doesn't exist, nothing really matters, does it?
But Bill, you just articulated, judgment is best left in the hands of God.
Right.
But by teaching a literal, eternal hell, we turn God into a monster, Bill.
I don't think so.
There is no
limit
to the literal hell we're talking about.
I'm not turning God into a monster. I think God wants everybody to repent, wants everybody to be good, and gives everybody the opportunity to do that, free will. But if you spit in the face of God and you kill millions of people, I think there has to be a reckoning. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, so you think hell is designed for mass murderers, killers, those kinds of people.
People who turn their back on good, unrepentant people who do evil in this world, I believe will get something when they die. They will not be with the Lord in heaven.
Yeah. I wish that only that was being said out in the church.
But do you believe what I believe? Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe in a literal hell. And I think it's a historical and theological.
Do you believe in a literal heaven?
I do.
Okay, so that means you're going to see Adolf up there. Say hello to him for me, because I got to tell you, I don't want to be anywhere near him. All right, Pastor.
Well,
I appreciate your point of view.
Bill.
Thank you.
First of all, you can see the utter emptiness in the life of this, quote, PhD, who has concluded that there's no hell. As O'Reilly correctly points out, that would mean an end to any notion of regulation of behavior, of any consequences for one's actions. Mass murderers would go unpunished. It's utter emptiness, illogic, and stupidity. Then we have O'Reilly attempting to define what the Catholic Church teaches and asserting modernist heresy in the process. He says that non-Christians can be saved, directly contrary to the teaching of sacred scripture, directly contrary to the defined dogma of the church, directly contrary to the belief of all the early church fathers. And what's so interesting is, how does he justify his belief that souls can be saved in any religion, essentially universal salvation except for mass murderers? He justifies it with, quote, baptism of desire. That's why this false idea of baptism of desire is the heresy of all heresies.
Let me define what the Catholic Church's position on this is, all right? Quote, non-Christians who seek God with a sincere heart, which would be Gandhi, and moved by his grace, try to do his will as they know it through the dictates of conscience, can also be saved without water baptism. They are said to desire it implicitly. That is called baptism of desire. I was taught that in the third grade, that the Holocaust victims who were primarily Jewish, what are you, they're damned because they're not Catholic? That's insane.
The truth is that the Catholic Church not only teaches that there's no salvation outside the church, but it teaches that there's no salvation without water baptism. That was defined by the Council of Florence and by the Council of Trent. There were saints who speculated on the concept of explicit baptism of desire for people who believed in Jesus Christ and the Trinity. They did not believe that any of the Muslims, the Jews, the Buddhists, etc. could be saved. So, even those saints who did believe in a baptism of desire only applied it to people who actually believed in Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. However, the majority of the early church rejected that idea, holding that even unbaptized catechumens cannot be saved. And the church has never even taught that there is a baptism of desire. In fact, it has taught the opposite, because it has declared that there is no salvation without the actual sacrament of water baptism. It has also declared that the words of Jesus Christ in John 3:5, unless a man is born again of water and the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, are to be understood literally as they are written. It has also condemned as heretical the notion that unbaptized infants can be saved without the sacrament of baptism. So O'Reilly calls the traditional teaching of the church, defined by the councils of Florence and Trent, and the view of the early church insane.
All right, little babies who die upon birth, they can't get baptized. They're not going to heaven. That's insane.
In fact, it's interesting that he calls the notion that unbaptized infants cannot be saved insane, when Pope Saint Innocent in 414 said that the idea of the Pelagians, quote, that even without the grace of baptism, infants are able to be endowed with the rewards of eternal life is quite idiotic, end quote. In expressing his belief that non-Catholics can be saved, and saying that this is the teaching of the, quote, Catholic Church, O'Reilly is actually articulating the teaching of the Vatican II sect, not the traditional Catholic Church. What most people think is the Catholic Church is actually the counterfeit construct of the Vatican II religion. It is not the Catholic faith. But the main point that I want to focus on is how what he says about, quote, baptism of desire is what even most traditionalist priests believe, that baptism of desire can apply to Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, anyone. Because once you remove the dam, and the dam is the dogma outside the church, there is no salvation, that gives us the boundaries. And once you say that, well, some people can be saved outside the church, you've removed the dam, anything can flow in. And so he has concluded that all the Jews during the World War II period who died, they go to heaven, even though that is directly condemned in Catholic teaching and directly contrary to what Scripture says over and over again about how he who believeth not shall be condemned, Mark 16:16. There is no other name under heaven by which men are saved except for the name of Jesus, Acts 4:12. Throughout the Gospel, Jesus teaches that you must believe in him for salvation and that everyone who is outside of him is lost, John 8. John 14:6, etc. Therefore, this is a prime example of how evil the false idea of, quote, baptism of desire is, and how it is a false Christ, a false gospel. It is the biggest heresy today. Bill O'Reilly's promotion of heresy on this matter is another example of how the false doctrine of, quote, baptism of desire is being used to justify unbelief, the rejection of Christ, and the rejection of God. It's also interesting that O'Reilly says he was taught this heresy of, quote, implicit baptism of desire, that people can be saved who don't even believe in Christ, aren't baptized, aren't Catholic. He was taught it by the nuns in the third grade.
They are said to desire it implicitly. That is called baptism of desire. I was taught that in the third grade, that the Holocaust victims, who were primarily Jewish, what are they? They're damned because they're not Catholic? That's insane.
O'Reilly was born in 1949, and therefore he was in the third grade before Vatican II. This coincides with what we've pointed out, which is that this heresy against the Catholic truth, outside the church there is no salvation, and against the necessity of our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, was being spread before Vatican II. Most of the priests and religious in the decades just prior to Vatican II denied this teaching. The denial of this teaching and the promotion of the evil doctrine of, quote, baptism of desire is what led to the great apostasy. Those who defend this false doctrine today are on the side of the Antichrist. And while O'Reilly rightly points out the illogical nature of the position of the universalist, which is that if there is no hell, then there's no regulation of behavior, there are no consequences for evil actions, etc., O'Reilly engages in outrageous illogic himself, because while he draws on sacred scripture to prove the existence of hell and to prove that some people are punished, he abandons what scripture says about who is in fact punished. As we already discussed, you must believe in Jesus Christ and his church to be saved. Scripture also says that none of the fornicators or adulterers or drunkards shall enter into the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:9. O'Reilly certainly would not believe that. Scripture also says that few are saved and that most people are damned, Matthew 7:13. Thus, Scripture does not only teach that mass murderers and people who betray others are damned. Therefore, O'Reilly, like all heretics, selectively applies Scripture. It's also interesting how this proponent of universal salvation that was on the program is so obviously conforming and reshaping God's revelation to his own heretical desires. He has no response to the fact that Scripture teaches the existence of hell and that people go there. And he even amazingly claims to believe in Scripture. His only response is, well, that would make God a monster. Notice how unsettled he is by the thought of hell and by the consideration that people will be held responsible in eternity for their actions.
And that puts God in a very difficult place. We're turning God into a monster by teaching
of a literal hell. Which church teaches that?
Except the church doesn't just teach that mass murderers go to hell. They teach that people like Gandhi go to hell.
And since he brought it up in the context of trying to justify homosexuals who commit sins that are condemned in the Bible, it's obvious, in my view, that he's an example of someone who has convinced himself that hell does not exist in order to justify sinful behavior and probably his own sinful behavior.
I see good, committed Christians, for instance, gay people, good, committed gay Christians who've been told they're abominations, they're going to hell forever.
It's also very interesting how Bill O'Reilly, in denying Catholic teaching on the necessity of Christ for salvation and the necessity of the Catholic faith for salvation, says that we must leave judgment in the hands of God. He's adamant on that point. Yet, at the very beginning of his explanation, when he was asserting that non-Christians who, quote, follow God can be saved by implicit, quote, baptism of desire, he simply judged that Gandhi fit into that category.
By whom?
It does enormous damage.
They're not told that by my church. My church tells people, you don't make those judgments. No one makes those judgments but the deity. Non-Christians who seek God with a sincere heart, which would be Gandhi.
Isn't it interesting how, when confronted with the truths of divine revelation, which exclude unbelievers from salvation, they maintain that one cannot judge? However, when questioned about unbelievers who would be excluded from salvation, they abandon their principle that one cannot judge, and judge that the unbeliever, who, according to divine revelation, would be excluded from salvation, has a place in heaven. All of the heretics who reject the necessity of Jesus Christ and his church for salvation hide their heresy under the false doctrine that one cannot judge. It is how they attempt to justify the denial of the necessity of Christ and his church for salvation. The truth is that God has already revealed his judgment to us. To say that one cannot be sure or cannot judge if all who die as non-Catholics go to hell is simply to reject God's judgment as possibly untrue, which is heresy and blasphemy and pride of the worst kind. It is to sinfully judge as possibly worthy of heaven those whom God has explicitly revealed he will not save. To put it simply, to say that one cannot judge that all who die outside of Christ and his church go to hell, when God has revealed this, is to judge in the most gravely sinful way, in a way directly contrary to God's revealed truth and revealed judgment. As the great missionary Saint Francis Xavier put it when traveling on a ship in 1549, with a pagan who died. He said, quote, "He himself chose to die in his own superstitions. He did not even leave us the power of rewarding him by that kindness which we can after death do to other friends who die in the profession of the Christian faith, in commending their souls to God, since the poor fellow, by his own hand, cast his soul into hell, where there is no redemption." End quote. VaticanCatholic.com,